Glad I'm saved. If someone were to give you some land, as much as you want it, would that be a good thing, generally speaking? The Lord wants to give us some land. I want to talk today about the land of promise. And I want us to turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and I want to start reading at the 8th verse. And I'd like for us to read that down through about the 10th verse.
Hebrews 11 and 8.
Yeah, go down to 11 and 8 and go down to the 11th verse, please.
By faith, Abraham,
when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed.
And he went out,
not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who promised. We think oftentimes of the promises of God, and we sing a song sometime that says, "Standing on the Promises of God." And as I was reading this particular scripture in a devotion, I don't know at what time I was reading it, but the Lord just kind of inspired it to my mind, the land of promise. It's not just one or two promises that we have in the scriptures that we can stand on, but it's a whole land of it. It's a land. I understand that this is talking about Canaan land and the promised land, the land itself. But I'm talking about today, and I don't think it'll take away from the scripture at all, that there is a great land that the Lord has for you and I that promises that all we have to do is go and take them and stand on them by the help and the grace of God. What he promised, he is able also to perform. The Lord is not slack, the scripture says, concerning his promises. But he is a long-suffering to usward. The Lord will do whatever he says. And let me tell you, we cannot bring anything to the Lord. We cannot ask anything of the Lord that is too big for him to do. That's too much for him to do. We need to understand that the land that he's given us is for ours. It's for our taking. It's for our benefit. It's for our sustenance and whatnot. May the Lord help us to clearly understand it. I want us to go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. I want to read a little bit there that goes goes along with that particular scripture that we just read. Genesis 12, verse 1. You might start reading it if you have it. Genesis 12 and 1. The Lord said unto Abram, I want you to get up out of your country. I want you to get from your kindred. I want you to get in a place. I want you to get to a place that may not be completely comfortable for you. Do you realize that when we stand on the promises of God, it's not necessarily something that's comfortable? I don't know about you, but there have been many times that I've been in trusting the Lord or depending on the Lord for a particular thing, and it seemed like the Lord requires us to step out on what seems to be nothing. What seems to be going to a place that we don't know about. Lord, I've never been here before, and I don't know what to expect. And if I trust you here, if I trust you here, will you fail me? Will you bring forth what I'm desiring of you? And what the Lord often does is gets us out of a place of comfort, out of our little comfort zone, and he said, there is more land for you to possess. And this is what he said to Abraham. You're around your kindred. You're around things that are familiar to you. You have gotten kind of in a rut, you might say, or in a routine, and you're comfortable with this. You know what tomorrow is going to bring. You know about the crop. You know about who's going to be able to help you. And all these things, you have a clarity of understanding here, but I want you to get up out of all of that, and I want you to go beyond that. All right, let's read. I want you to get from your father's house. This is where you grew up. This is your little area of comfort, and I want you to get out of that. All right.
Onto a land
that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation,
and I will bless thee,
and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing.
I will bless them that bless thee.
I will curse thee him that curse you.
And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
Now keep in mind, Abraham didn't have any children.
Keep in mind, the land that he was going to was not something that he was familiar with. But the Lord is giving him promises here that all the nations are going to be blessed as a result of you. But Lord, I don't have any kids. I don't have any children. I don't have any seed. How? What do you mean that all the nations are going to be blessed as a result of me? Read. Abram, what did he do? He obeyed the Lord. And this is the requirement that the Lord has of you and I. When he tells us to do something, we have to step out on faith. And let me tell you, faith is not something that's just foolish and ignorant. It is something that we have the promises of the Word of God that Abraham walked because the Lord told him to do it. You and I can do a particular thing no matter what everybody around us is saying if the Lord tells us, because we are standing on the promise, which is the Word of God. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. Now we feel like this earth is solid enough for us to literally stand on, don't we? We're standing on it. Literally, we're standing on the earth. But you know, heaven, it says heaven and earth shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Do you realize that what we're standing on, when we're standing on this earth, is the Word of God? Literally. What does the Scripture say? All the things that, in the beginning, what did God do? God created the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be, and there was. And so literally the things that we see, God spoke them into existence. His word is that powerful. We need to understand the power in the Word of God. So when God tells Abraham to do a particular thing, Abraham understands that his word is just as powerful as the things that is more powerful than, what I'm trying to say. His word is just as powerful as anything. It's more powerful. And so we can stand on the Word of God. This is why we can say, if the Lord tells me to do a particular thing, the Lord is not going to fail in supporting me in the thing that He tells me to do. Read, please.
So Abram departed as the Lord.
He departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him.
And Abram
was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran.
And
Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son. All their substance that they had gathered,
and
the souls
they had gotten in Haran,
and they went forth into the land of Canaan,
into the land of Canaan
they came. So it tells us that he took Lot, he took his brother's son, Lot, he took his wife, he took all of his servants, he took everything that he had. He just got up and he went where the Lord told him to go. Do you know that that's what we have to do when the Lord tells us something, a thing, and this is not necessarily a comfortable thing for us. Most of us like routine. Most of you are sitting in the same seats that you've sat in since you've been coming to church. All of us are, generally speaking. And we go the same route probably to church every day. We go to the same route on to work. We have a routine, and it's nothing wrong with routine. It's not a wrong thing. But because we're human nature, we're human beings, and we are accustomed to being in a routine. And it's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes, as the Lord is saying here to Abraham, I want you to get up and I want you to go beyond this, because you're too satisfied right here where you are. And I want to show you something that's beyond where you are. I believe the Lord is saying that to all of us. In spiritual ways, and that we have become comfortable in spiritual matters, and we are satisfied that this is all that there is. And we've got into our little spiritual routine, and as long as we're there, we're fine. But the Lord is saying, I want you to get up out of this comfort place, and I want you to go, because there's a great land that I have for you. All right, let's go to the 13th chapter and the 14th verse. Let's read that. Yes. He said, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward, eastward and westward. The Lord telling Abraham, this land of promise, I want you, Abraham, I want you to look north, south, east, and west from where you're standing. All right? Read.
For all the land which thou seest,
I'm going to give that land to you and to thy seed forever. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth,
so that if a man shall
So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and he came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebrew, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So the Lord is telling Abraham, now I want us to understand something here. Again, we need to understand that Abraham does not have any children, but the Lord keeps giving him a promise here in this land that I'm going to make. If they can count the dust of the land, then they're going to be able to count your offspring. This, the Lord is able to give us things that's far beyond what we can even imagine. And I believe what the Lord wants us to do today is to have an understanding that there is nothing too hard for Him to do. And for us to understand that we're not just not one promise or two promises, but two promises or even 10 promises, but it's a land of promise. And as we walk into this land, we can have the things that the Bible has laid out for us to be able to obtain. Lord, help us. All right. Now, I want us to turn to Romans, the 4th chapter. And let's read this, starting at the 16th verse. Romans 4, verse 16. Therefore it is a faith
that it might be by grace.
That it might be by grace.
To the end the promise
might be sure unto all. What did you say? Go ahead.
Not to that only which is of the law.
That which is of the faith of Abraham,
who is the father of us all.
As it is written,
I have made thee
a father of many nations,
before him
whom he believed,
even God
who quickeneth the dead,
and he calleth
those things which be not
as though they were,
who against hope
he believed in hope,
that he might become the father of many nations, just like the Lord had promised to him. He believed that the Lord was going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. Now, what we have to do, saints, is sometimes it would be good for us to go down through the scripture and read the things that the Lord says he's promised to us. The things, the scriptures that he promised that when we get into trouble, that he's going to be a very present help in the time of trouble. When we can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. There is a condition with the promise. We have to understand that, but we have to understand also that the promise belongs to us. It's mine. Every promise that the Lord has laid down in the Word of God belongs to me. And I need to spend time with the Lord saying, Lord, if there is a place in my mind or in my heart that it seems like it's just too big for me to take in, then I need to spend some time with the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to be able to increase my faith. Help me to come to a place that my faith can be increased and that I can trust you that the promises are not just for the deep saints and whatnot, but it's for me as well. Maybe sometimes we have other people in our minds that the Lord didn't necessarily mean this for me. He meant it for somebody like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or whoever. But the Lord meant his promises for us, all of us, whoever we are, however long we've been saved. These things belong to us, all right? Read, please.
According to that which was spoken,
so shall thy seed be.
And being not weak in faith.
He considered not his own body now dead.
He was about 100 years old.
Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb.
He staggered not
at the promise of God through unbelief,
but
he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. All right, now let's talk about this scripture for a moment here. He says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He did not stagger. Now, generally speaking, staggering, one of the things that you find a person that staggers is if you've got something that's just too heavy for you to bear, you're going to kind of stagger in order to maintain your balance, right? But here is this man realized and understood, I'm not going to stagger at the promise. This promise that the Lord gave me, you told me that this land would be mine. It was my land of promise. You told me, Lord, that this would be, that my seed would go throughout all the world. You're the one that said it. I didn't say it. And so sometimes it would be good for us to bring back to God the fact of what His Word says. Lord, I didn't make this up. You didn't say that it wasn't for me. You said that this is what you were going to do for me. Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God. You and I cannot, should not, and must not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, in other words, sometimes we are asking the Lord for something that is too big for us to even take in that He can do. We've all been in those places. Maybe we are in a situation where it just seems like it's overwhelming. Have you ever felt that way before? Have you ever felt like things are just overwhelming? Maybe financially, maybe physically. It seemed like the things that you're dealing with are just overwhelming, and I just don't know what I'm going to do, but I bring it to the Lord. And in the back of my mind, I want to say that the Lord is going to do it, because that's what the church, Brother Darrell said, or that's what the preacher said, that's what my mother used to be able to trust the Lord. But I'm finding it difficult for me to be able to trust the Lord to that level. That's a staggering at the promise. Lord, I'm not so sure that you'll do it for me. I know you can do it. I know that you're this great God, and I know that you created the universe, but Lord, I want you to do it for me, and it seems like it's just too overwhelming for me to even take in. Do you know what we need to do at that particular time is ask the Lord, Lord, before I even ask you this, I need you to come down, sit down and talk to me. I need you to inspire my faith and help me to be able to believe this overwhelming thing is not too big for you. When I put my circumstances and my situation up against you, Lord, I realize that you're bigger than all of my problems. You're much greater than anything that I have to deal with. Saints, if we can get a hold of that, don't just look at the promises of God, but make them yours. Make them real. Ask the Lord to increase your faith that you can be able to see what it is that He is desiring of you. It's your land. You have a right to it. It's your promise. You have a right to it. Read, please. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Being fully persuaded, not partially persuaded. Lord, I believe that you can do this, but I don't believe that you can do it for me. So in other words, partially I believe, and then there's a part of me that doesn't believe. There's a part of me that has some doubt in my mind that God is able to do this, or that he will do it for me. But he said, I am fully persuaded. I've used this as an example before, and I want to use it again. And this is how all of us have to fight. I don't believe, I know I do. I don't know, maybe somebody in here doesn't have to fight doubt. Or we've been conditioned that when we've asked for things, maybe as a child and our parents didn't give them to us, I wanted a car when I was 16. Did my dad buy me a car? No. We wanted a pony when we were 8. And did our parents buy us a pony? We got up on Christmas and looked out the backyard. There wasn't a pony there. And so we've been conditioned that sometimes when we ask for things, and maybe we've asked some things of the Lord, and we really believed that the Lord was going to give them, and maybe it wasn't according to His will at that time in our life, or maybe He was just withholding it until the perfect time. And we felt like it was this particular time, and I just believed, and then I'm let down because of what God didn't do. I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and they were saying, you know what, the Lord has disappointed me. It seemed like I've prayed, and I prayed about a particular thing, and it's not working because I'm wanting my family put back together, and it doesn't seem like it's going that way. And you know, I told this individual, I said, you know what, the Lord doesn't override another person's will. You can't make somebody do, God won't make you do it. He'll do whatever he can to align your will to his will. And once they're all in alignment, he can perform the duty, the desire of your heart when your will is aligned to his. But if you want $1 million and you want to be rich and famous and you're praying to God to do that, and it's not God's will for you to be rich and famous and have millions and billions of dollars, do you suppose God is under an obligation to do that for you? Absolutely not. And so what we have to understand is that God has a will. You have a will. And what we have to, what has to happen is when I'm asking the Lord for any of His promises, we have to understand and get a clarity of understanding that, Lord, not as I will, but Your will be done. I know You can do this for me. I know that You're able to do it, but I want Your will to be done in this situation. And so when we submit our will to it and we believe, Lord, that this is the will of God, and we begin to pray in the will of God, then we can have whatsoever we desire. That's a promise. But the Lord is under no obligation to give us things to consume on our own lust. But there are some things that we could have if we would but ask for them. And I've learned this. I've learned it in my experience, and I'm learning it in my experience, that there are some things, the Scripture says it very plainly, you have not because you didn't ask. And then you ask it the wrong way to consume it on your lust. So the Lord's not going to give it when you ask it the wrong way. But I want us to understand that these promises belong to us. And there's a condition to every promise of God. One of the conditions is, I must obey the Word of God. Once I obey the Word of God, and He says in one place, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. That is a promise. But the condition of that promise is, I must abide in the Lord and His word must abide in me. If that's not the case, no need in me asking Him. For whatever it is that I desire, it's not going to happen. So we have to understand that God has conditions in His Word, that once we have met those conditions, then God is well able and willing to give the things that we ask for. Alright? So, He said He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So here's what we have. Oftentimes, we have situations, and you've seen me use this before. There is faith. Lord, I believe. But there is a little bit of doubt here. Unbelief. Thank you. You remember this. Unbelief. And right here is doubt. Right? There's doubt here. So there's this mixture of faith and unbelief. And what Abraham had to do is he said, look, I am fully persuaded. This means I'm not fully persuaded. I'm a man in two minds. You know how the Scripture says in James, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So what happens in the midst, and it may be that this part of my doubt is a little bit bigger, but I haven't made a decision yet on which way that I'm going to go. Well, Lord, I believe, but I don't believe. I don't know that You're able to do it for me in this circumstances at this particular time. And so we waver. And so He says, nothing wavering. Don't waver. When you ask the Lord, then you have to say, Lord, just like Abraham, He says, he was fully persuaded. So Abraham said, Lord, You said You were going to do it. And you know what? I believe that You're going to do it. And I'm just going to trust You. And I'm going to be fully persuaded. So there was no unbelief. I don't know how You're going to do it. I don't know when You're going to do it, but I know You're going to do it. And saints, this is what it's all about. This is where we stand. Be fully persuaded. The Lord wants you and I to be fully, fully persuaded. Not partially persuaded, but fully persuaded. Persuade. Right? Fully persuaded. Not just a little bit. Not just, I know He can do it, but will He do it for me? That means that there is something lacking in my faith. That means that there is something that I need to go back to the drawing board, so to speak, or go back to my little private closet and ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be fully persuaded on every promise that You've given me. I want to be fully persuaded there. I want us to turn to James 1. I want to read a little bit there. Have it read it. We'll start 1 and verse 6.
Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering.
He that wavereth is like the wave of the sea,
driven with the wind and tossed.
Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. But he says all these promises belong to him, right? All these promises, I'm in the land of promise, right?
But he said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You have to ask, nothing, don't stagger and don't waver. Don't stagger and don't waver. And let me tell you, sometimes what we have to do is we have to find a place of prayer and we have to ask the Lord, Lord, there's a little staggering here. There's a little unsettling here that I'm not completely settled on what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it, how I'm going to get it done, Lord, or how you're going to do it, Lord, whatever. I'm a little wavering here and I need to just stand firm. And after I've done all to stand, just stand there. Hear the voice of our commander, stand firm. I've got your back. I'm behind this. I told you to do it. This promise is my promise that you're standing on. And as long as you don't move, you'll be fine. The Lord says that to us from time to time. And we have to understand from our perspective that the Lord takes us out of places of comfort just like he did Abraham. Abraham could never have possessed the land had he not been willing to get up and go. If he had not been willing to get out of his comfort zone, he would never have inherited. And I wonder sometimes if there are not places that the Lord has a desire for us to inherit and he's already given it to us, but we're afraid to go forward. Let's go to Joshua. Let's go to the first chapter and first verse of Joshua. Let's read that.
Joshua 1:1.
After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass
that
the Lord spake unto Joshua,
the son of Nun,
Moses' minister,
saying,
Moses, my servant, is dead.
Now therefore
arise,
go
over this Jordan,
thou
and all this people,
unto the land
that I do give to them,
even
to the children of Israel. I'm giving you this land, all right? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. That's a promise. I was with Moses. You saw what I did with Moses. I'm going to be with you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. Read.
I will not fail thee.
I won't fail you. There is no way to fail when you're following the leading of the Lord. As long as he's ahead of you, keep your eye on him, there's no way to fail. All right? I will not fail thee. That's a promise. Part of that land that we possess. I will not forsake you. All right? You be strong and of good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Now, why is he telling them this? Why is he saying, be strong? Because you're going out to fight some giants.
Yes.
He knows that. Joshua knows that. Joshua already had been over there.
Yes.
He realized that there are going to be some giants there. There are going to be some things that you're going to face that are difficult. There are going to be some things that are scary. Just put it that way. You didn't expect it. To express to you what a giant looks like, and it's altogether another one when you're facing them.
True.
And let me tell you, every one of us are going to face giants. You want to know one of our greatest giants? One of our greatest giants is fear.
Yes.
All of us get scared. I don't care how brave and how macho man you are, there's some things that can scare you. Sometimes it's just somebody walking up on you and touching you. You didn't even expect it, and you're jumping. I know that startles us, we say. But let me tell you, there are things that are fearful. So he says to him, be of good courage. You're going to need courage. You're going to need the ability. You're going to need strength. You're going to need to be strong. You're going to have to face your fear. And you're going to have to go beyond that. And you're going to say, Lord, this is the land that you gave me this land. This is what you did. This is my promise, and I'm going to stand by it. And let me tell you, when it seems like we're getting in trouble and we're in the middle of the battle, and it seems like the enemy may be about to destroy us, what do? We grab hold of one of the promises, and we stand firm on it. Lord, help us. You said you wouldn't fail me, Lord. You said that in a situation like this, that I would be in situations like this. You said you wouldn't fail me, and you wouldn't forsake me. So I know you're here.
Even when it seems like things are not going the way that I want them to go. Even when it seems like I'm a failure. You said you wouldn't fail me. Lord, help me to trust you more fully. Help me to be fully persuaded that what you were able to, what you were promised, what you promised me you're able to perform. One of the requirement and the condition that they had to meet was they had to be courageous. Because you get in the middle of the battle and it seems like there's the giants are coming and the fiery darts and whatnot are coming your way. You better be strong. Because the condition of you being in this land, and you got to understand what you're doing. You're going and taking some land that really that somebody else is inhabiting. And the Lord did not say, I'm necessarily going to drive all of them out and you're not going to have to fight it all. He said, you're going to every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I've already given it to you. Not I'm going to give it to you.
Right.
It's already yours. So we realize that if we don't stand, now this land, let's just say for the sake of an illustration here, that this land is a land where the promises are the ground. So name a promise that comes to your mind. Help me out here. A promise in the Word of God.
If you abide in me, my Word
abides
in you, you can ask what you will.
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. That's part of the ground. That's part of my land. What's another one? I will never leave thee nor forsake me. That's part of the promise. So there are going to be times that I'm going to have to stand on that. You said you wouldn't leave me, Lord. I don't need necessarily this one over here today, but I need this one right here. You said you wouldn't leave me nor forsake me. What's another one?
He said he would supply our every need. He would supply
our every need. Lord, I need that right now. So every place that the sole of my feet, I take that land, and that land now becomes mine. Lord, you said you would supply all of my needs. And Lord, I need you right now. I need you financially. I need you physically. I need you emotionally. I need you in every aspect of my being. And so I'm standing on the fact, on this promise in this land that you've given me that you're going to supply all my needs. But what about when you don't have any money? What about when you're sick? And you stand on it anyway. After you've done all to stand, you stand there. The devil is going to do everything that he possibly can to discourage you, to make you afraid when your back is hurting or your stomach is hurting or your head is hurting. And what did the devil whisper in your ear? Oh, it's probably something pretty serious. You probably got a brain tumor. You better go get that checked out. You know something? That could be life-threatening. And you better go and get that taken care of. And what do you say, Lord? You promised to be my healer. You said, no, don't forget all the benefits. You promised to be my healer. I want to trust you, Lord. When I'm in a situation where it seems like, let me tell you, I don't know, I've gotten myself in a lot of financial situations. Have y'all? I have. And let me tell you, the Lord's taking me out of all of them. Some of them I got myself into and I shouldn't have done what I did. But you know what? I just fall down and I ask the Lord, Lord, I made a bad mistake and I'm sorry. Would you forgive me for this? I didn't realize the implications when I did it, Lord, and the Lord. But Lord, you said you would have mercy on whom you would have mercy. That's a promise. Lord, would you have mercy on me? I don't deserve it. I don't deserve you to take care of the situation. But Lord, the promise in this land that I'm going to stand, this little plot of ground that I'm going to stand on right now says you'll have mercy on me. It's my land. It's mine. And saints, for every situation that you will ever face, there is a plot of ground that the Lord has already given you if you'll just step on it and stand there. What did Paul do? Paul went into a place and he said, Lord, I want you to remove this thorn out of my flesh, this thing that is goading me, and just I'm having major problems as a result of this thorn in the flesh. And he prayed and he begged the Lord, and what did the Lord say? I'm not removing it. Well, Lord, you promised that whatever, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. I've asked you 3 times to remove this thorn out of my flesh, and you're not doing it.
The condition is according to his will. But he said, all right, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, I'm not going to leave you by myself. So right now I can stand on. He'd never leave me nor forsake you. He said, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul, you need to feel weak. You need to have the understanding that you cannot do everything by yourself. All the things that I bless you with, now I need this, a messenger of Satan to buffet you. Lest you be exalted. He says, so now I want you to stand on the promise that my grace is sufficient. So every time you feel this thorn in your flesh, stand on this promise. Stand right here. Stand right here. Don't move. My grace is sufficient for you. That's part of the land. It's part of the land. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given you. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commandeth thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest in this land. Now, I want you to understand something. When they were in the land of Canaan, they went into the land of Canaan. It was a land that was flowing with milk and honey, and there were walled cities, and there was they really weren't going to have to go and build very much. They had cities already there that they could just inhabit. And they had all their needs were supplied in that land. Everything that they needed was there. And do you realize that everything that we need, let's just say in the natural sense, everything that we need to live really comes from the land? Think about that for a moment. Everything that we need to survive and to thrive comes from the land. And so in the natural sense, now in the spiritual sense, everything that we need to survive and to thrive comes from the land of promise. That I'm in a spiritual place, Lord, and you said that I can have, it flows with milk and honey. Everything that I need, every promise here in this land is what I'll need to be able to get from here to glory. And so I want, the Lord wants to encourage you through this message today that he's already supplied all your needs. He's already done it. He's already given it to you. Have you, there's one place in the scripture that says, I've begun to give. You begin to possess. So it's just the beginning. I've begun to give these things to you. I want you to begin to possess them. But you know, the way to possess them is not staying on this side of Jordan. It's not staying here in a comfortable place where I'm familiar and all this. It is going, it's stepping out and going beyond that place to where the Lord would have me to go, you to go, and where he told Abraham, I want you to get up, I want you to go away from your kindred, I want you to get away from everything that's comfortable and all this, and I want you to go to the land that I'll show you. It's the promised land. All right. All right. Maybe that's good enough. I want to encourage us today that whatever it is that you're needing from the Lord, he's already given it to you. He's already given it to you. According to his word. It's already there in the Bible. It's already here, laid out very plainly in the scripture. It is that you have to find, you have to be, have the, meet the conditions to receive it. And all of the land of promise that the Lord has laid out for you, all you have to do is walk. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've already given it to you. But he says, be strong. Be very courageous. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.